Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Three, two, one.
Hey, you amazing Earthlings. I'm so excited for this week because today we have a researcher who is currently based in Argentina, known to everyone by his YouTube channel name, The Undead Gaucho. He describes himself as, quote, an unconventional thinker, free mind, free spirit, photographer, filmmaker, and everyday average person who lives by the motto, the paranormal is normal. Please welcome with me, The Undead Gaucho.
Hey, Christina.
Hi. Hi. Thank you so much for joining me today on Shifting the Paradigm. We got a lot of great questions going to go on today, and you are the man with the facts, right? With all the information. So I'm so happy you're joining me here.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. Definitely. I love your channel. I love what you do. So I'm pretty stoked to be here tonight.
Well, good, good. I hope you brought your brain with you because we're gonna go all in.
I might have forgot it, but let's go all in.
So let's get started and let's talk about the first thing I want to ask you is about how the public consciousness is there from your experience and perspective in Argentina regarding the UFO topic.
Argentina is considered a UFO hotspot, and I'm sure I'm gonna bring that up a lot if we talk about Argentina, but there is a open sort of vibe to the UFO subject here. It still has its stigma, obviously, like everywhere in the world, but I think that Argentina is definitely one of those places where people do often talk about UFOs. Anywhere you go, really, if you just take a second and search it up, you'll find that lots of people have had experiences in different parts of Argentina. So it's kind of just like a free-for-all map when you want to see how the phenomenon has been interacting with people here. So definitely an open vibe to it, but still stigma, I would say, when it comes to Argentina.
Just like everywhere. I want to say hi to Alien Girl. Hey there. I love that you're always here, always a sweetheart. And Mr. Shaw. Oh my goodness. You know, I'm a fan, so I'm happy you're here, my dear friend. And also Alicia. Oh my gosh, he's Coke in a bottle. Love it. So hi everyone. Hi S1. So happy that everyone is here joining in. If you guys ever have any questions, please put them in the chat and hopefully we can get those answered. Okay. So talking about Argentina and being of Latin culture, I know myself from visits to family in Venezuela that for the most part, Latin America is more dedicated to Catholicism. People on the whole are more religious as a way of life than in the USA. And for many, the topic of UFOs and the paranormal are seen more as being related to something as demonic and kind of taboo. Have you encountered that mindset at all? And if so, how has it affected your research?
I've definitely encountered that mindset, 100%. And I would say in my closest circles, I've encountered that. So I talk about this subject with you guys, and I talk about this subject openly with certain people. But of course, there are people that I do not, I don't share my full thoughts on the UFO phenomenon with, because I just feel like they're not ready to have that discussion. They're not ready to think about it. I'm a believer that religion is a good example of how the phenomenon has been interacting with us for many years, since the beginning of time. You know, I'm somebody that says the phenomenon has always been here. And if you really want to see that, all you have to do is pay attention. because religion, I don't want to say this in a way like to turn anybody off, right? I'm always careful when I talk about this, but I was raised a Catholic. I went to Catholic school. And if I learned anything, it's that angels and these kinds of things that people believe in, that I currently, I mean, I'm not really, I don't practice my religion anymore, but these kinds of things that people believe in, it's good, it's healthy for them to have faith. But also, if you just step back from it for a second, you'll realize that those are interdimensional beings, like it or not. The way you look, any way you look at it, that's what it is. So if you believe in that, you believe kind of in the phenomenon, right? I don't know how to really express it clearly to people so that they can understand where I'm coming from, because as soon as they hear UFOs, they get this picture of little green men, and they don't understand that really an alien being or an extra dimensional, ultra-terrestrial, whatever it is, it doesn't always look like a little gray man or a little gray being. So yeah, there is stigma here regarding that. And I have come up in certain conversations. I remember having a conversation with a family member, and we were talking about basically what I just said, how I think that if you believe in religion, you should believe in the phenomenon as well, because it's basically the same thing. It's just a different way of looking at it. And oh, that conversation never ended. It was just like back and forth until I finally said, like, you know what? I get why he thinks this way, and I don't need to change anybody's opinion. It's really just everyone's going to believe what they want to believe. So totally good question. Great question. Actually.
Absolutely. I think when it comes to opinions, all you can do is just kind of lay it out like a piece of bread, and then it's up to them if they want to eat it or not. You can't force it down their throat.
Can I ask you a question? So have you been to
Venezuela? That's my job.
I'm sorry.
No, not firsthand, because I was born after Hugo Chavez came into power. So I have not, but I have a lot of family that's still there and that come and visit. Well, that used to visit the U.S. Not anymore.
Totally.
so it's a little rough there.
Don't worry. I mean, I am in Argentina, but before I came here and stayed here, I had been like once when I was a little kid. So that seems to happen a lot where we have family outside of the country. We don't really get to travel that much. I mean, traveling is a little expensive and your parents can only take you when you're young. So if you get a chance, I would say go check it out, because there's nothing like going back to your roots and seeing that side of the world. It kind of opens your mind and lets you see, like, you know, sometimes the borders that we imagine exist, they don't really exist. You know, everyone has the same issues, the same problems around the world, and it helps you kind of get a clear view. Some countries worse than others, but I'm saying the same root issues are always there.
So Jazz has a question. He says, so many American UFO researchers is based in English documents, but Argentina and other countries have a rich history of UFO documentation. Has anyone been working on translating all of those?
Wow, that's a great question, Jazz. I should have expected Jazz to drop a bomb like that. But yeah, I'm not 100% sure, Jazz. That's something we should look into. I do know there are groups here dedicated to looking into the phenomenon that do a lot of good work, like Sephora, I think, is one. And let me just clarify one thing, too. I'm still very American. And when I got here, I was so, so American that I couldn't really interact in those kinds of circles. I think now, recently, it's been 10 years now since I've been here. So I've had my practice. I've had my training. I can hold discussions and do anything, really, read a book, write emails, work, whatever. But when I got here, I couldn't really mix that well with people because my conversation level would be like too low. So lately, in the last 2 years or so, I've been really trying to dig into cases from here. It's also, I realized too, that my focus has been so on the US, I started trying to take a step back and realize, like, this is a global phenomenon. I need to look into cases from around the world. And it still happens today because the discussion is mostly on the table of the US. You know, you see people from all parts of the world being affected by this phenomenon, but the discussion is mostly in the corner of the US. So, Jazz, that's a great question. And I am going to follow up on that. And when I get some answers, I will bring them to you, my man.
So a follow-up question to that is, why do you think the U.S. puts more attention to these kinds of this kind of phenomena than maybe other countries?
I think that other countries have the same amount of attention, right, when it comes to the phenomenon. They're all paying attention to it. But I think the U.S. just has a larger platform and a bigger voice. You know, I think that what we're doing with the Big Phone Home is very important, even though I'm not in the U.S. So, I mean, I can contact people here, but I still feel like it's very important to get this, you know, to Congress and let them understand and wake up the U.S. public and the public of the world, really. But if the U.S. wakes up, it kind of starts a tidal wave. Things start to open up around the world. People start to, it's like they take the lead from the U.S. I don't know why. I'm just telling you, as somebody that lives outside of the country, that that's just kind of how it is. So
what was the trigger in your life that pulled you into being a researcher of these topics? Was there a specific experience you had, or was it more of a gradual fascination?
When I was a kid, I had a lot of strange experiences. I haven't shared them all on any, you know, openly, but I have had a lot of strange experiences, and it kind of just opened my mind up to high strangeness at first. And I've always been the kind of person that looks at the stars, even since I was a little kid. And I just felt like there was more to reality than what they were telling me and that what everyone was living. So I always paid attention to that. And over time, I started looking into UFOs, even though it was always there. I just started taking it more serious as I grew older. And yeah, this path has just been like natural. It hasn't really been like, oh, I saw a UFO and then all of a sudden I was awakened to the topic. It was just like I was born into this. I don't know how to say it. Like, I've been trying to explain it because I get that question a lot. It's a great question because some people want this huge origin story. And mine is there, but it's not that kind of origin story. It's more just like, I don't know if in my past lives I've been doing the same thing and it just continues on. But I feel like you need to think about reality. And if you really want to understand what life is about and what existence is about, you need to understand that there's so much more out there and you need to analyze those things, because at the end of the day, most of these boxes we live in, these parameters that we're given in life, like, I don't know, getting that perfect 9-to-5 or that nice house, those things in the scheme of the universe and in the scheme of everything, it really is so minimal to what everything is about. Like, the most beautiful things about life are the things that come free, which is just part of, I don't know, this yin and yang, the, you know, love and those kinds of things. It's, there's just so many magical things happening that we consider so normal. So that has always been something that I have noticed as a child and growing up throughout my whole life. And it just made me pay attention to this stuff. And now I am fully in deep with this, you know, and I don't see myself changing anytime soon. I think I'm always going to be, you know, when I have kids, I'll be showing them videos. Like, I'll show them this video and hopefully they'll be open-minded and understand, and maybe there'll be a different level of disclosure and they will be living in a new world. And, you know, one thing I really want to dig home with everybody is the phenomenon doesn't have borders. We talked about borders a second ago. The phenomenon does not have borders. This is a global phenomenon. And what we should take away from it is that we are all the same. We're all one species. Understanding that there's something else out there, maybe more intelligent or more powerful than us or whatever, should bring us together, you know, and I hope that's what it does. Even though sometimes in UFO circles we see divides and division and camps and things like that, but I'm going to keep pushing that message, and hopefully it comes true.
Well, it seems like a very open mindset. So what was the reaction that your family gave you when you decided to become more dedicated to researching these topics? How did they see it?
My mother is more of a believer than I am. She's like super awesome. I think she really helped me to be open to this kind of stuff too. but she's my biggest fan and she's always watching everything and she is always paying attention and she always has my back. Like when skeptics start coming out and things like that, she's always jumping her, you know, she believes more in the love and light aspect of it, which I have taken a more, I don't want to say realistic view, but a view of like, we can't accept everything to be good when the chaos in the universe is a real thing. Chaos and reality is a real thing. So we have to understand and not trust everything just because it's greater or more intelligent or whatever. So my father is kind of a skeptic, but he's evolved into becoming more of a believer. And he's also my biggest fan, but he's the kind of fan that will send me articles saying like, did you see this? What could this be? You know, did you pay attention to this? And then the rest of my family, surprisingly enough, has had my back when it comes to this. My wife, she actually suggested I use the Undead Gaucho, right? This kind of name to sort of protect my identity in case of, because I think I wish I could be like, my name is John. For those of you that don't know, my name is John. I live in Argentina. I'm basically giving you my life story here. So, but I still think, like we talked about, there is stigma. So I didn't know how to approach it at first. Now that I'm in this circle and meeting all these awesome people, I'm feeling more comfortable. And I'm feeling like I can take the mask off kind of and just walk around. But I still think it's important to have kind of that protection a little bit. But, you know, I don't know what my job would think if they really knew about my secret identity. But yeah, my family is super supportive and I really am. I'm happy. And I think that they're a big driving force behind me continuing. I don't feel weird when I talk to them, you know, I don't feel strange. That's right. They don't tell me to stop. They tell me to keep going. They tell me to keep pushing. They love that I'm meeting people like you. I'm sure when she sees this, when my mother sees it, she's going to get super happy that I'm talking to a female content creator and researcher and somebody as intelligent as you. So, yeah, my family has my back and I'm happy for that. I'm humbled and blessed, I guess.
Well, besides from your family that loves you, Brad T also loves you. He says, I love this dude. I mean, same.
Thanks, Brad.
And Jess says, hi. Brad says, amen, bro, 100. And S1 says, it's a wonderfully strange world. It's awesome to be alive. And that's so true. I think in today's world, we're getting so much, I wouldn't really say disclosure, but kind of like soft disclosure. We have so much media where it's able to open our minds to all these kinds of topics for when the disclosure really does come out, we'll be ready. We'll be like, oh, yeah, I saw it in a movie. Oh, of course it's real.
Yeah, totally. And that's what people need to pay attention to. Definitely. People want answers now and they want answers tomorrow. And disclosure is, I started saying this recently because everyone says fight for disclosure. And I've been saying, look, disclosure is a war. It's something that it's been going on for years, you know, since the time of Hynek and the old guard that's already not here anymore. You know, rest in peace to those brave men that put their careers, their family life, all those things on the line, because the question you asked me about my family and those kinds of things, it's very real. You know, I do know that I can see sort of when you get pulled into this topic and you spend a lot of time in the rabbit hole, you do kind of get alienated a little bit because you're not thinking about, you're not thinking about the current, you know, you're not thinking about the Kardashians. You're not thinking about the political situation. I'm constantly thinking about the UFO topic, which even I get tired at times and have to just come back to reality I guess reality is not a good word to use, because for me the phenomenon is reality, but I'm saying back to everyday average John life.
But, it's not easy. It's not easy.
No, it's super difficult actually. It gets hard. There's great times where everything is just flowing and we have these, you know, the news, everyone's talking about the topic, and then there's moments where you're just looking at cases that, or there's nothing there, or you keep hitting a brick wall, or you're thinking, how do I talk about this, or what does this all mean, you know? So yeah, it's not easy. And I salute, and everyone should pat themselves on the back who's doing this, because it's not easy, and there are challenges. So keep going, guys. Never stop searching for the truth. I know it's not easy, but you got to do it.
Well, John says Gaucho rocks, and with what you said, I can agree. I can agree with that. And thank you so much, Michael Mataluni, my bro from The Debrief. Check out his latest live that he did with Paul Davis. Fascinating. On The Debrief YouTube channel. Sick. And thank you, everyone. Jazz says, people have to demand better of the media in covering this topic. I do what I can as part of the journalism club, but we all have to provide feedback. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. So my next question is, what is the state of the study of UFOs in Argentina in relation to government openness and media reporting?
I think, you know, that's a good question. But I think that Andrea Simonderi, which is, I think I said her last name right, she is the head of Sephora, which is the group I was talking about earlier. And they are bringing files to light. They are doing great work. I know that there was a group dedicated actually back in the last presidency to looking into the phenomenon. And there was people that worked for, I guess you would say like the Argentinian Air Force that were in that group. And it was talked about openly, like it wasn't a secret group. When the presidency changed, I don't know if it was two presidencies ago, but when the presidency changed, that kind of fell apart. They weren't funding it anymore. But I really think everyone should take into consideration too what I said earlier, where when the U.S. talks about this, Argentina picks it up. But in the background, Argentina is a hotspot. So Argentina has its cases. Argentina has its history with this. And it still comes up. It still gets talked about. You know, there are news shows or news articles or things that come up. And yeah, I still think there could be a lot more. But like with any government or any sort of media outlets, we never get the full 100% clear story. We always, from the media, we get what they think is going to sell. From the government, we get what they think is safe for us to hear. So we're all kind of in the same boat. I don't think there's any Shangri-La when it comes to this, you know, any place where you go and they're going to be like, here's a UFO, you know, here's.
Do you think Argentina is more transparent than the U.S., or do you think they're about in the same boat?
I think they're in the same boat. I think the U.S. has a little bit more, I guess I'm trying to think of the word, but a little bit more of hoops you have to jump through to get answers. I think Argentina has its, I always say this, Argentina is like a baby country when it comes to the way the government works in comparison to places like the UK, the US, or Russia or China. You know, I see everything and I understand exactly what's going on. Like when I turn on the news, it's very easy to see what's happening. It's very easy to see what side they're on, where they're going. I don't know. That's kind of evolved. And I feel like whenever I turn on the news in the state, or I see Fox or CNN, I feel the same way now. But I think Argentina is a little bit easier to crack. It's a little bit easier to crack the safe here, just because the safe isn't covered in titanium, you know, if that makes sense. It's more of like, it's just easier to work around, because you're not dealing with the men in black really here.
So then what in your opinion stands out as a major occurrence or event where a UFO sighting was concerned in Argentina, like a case that was really famous there, or maybe not so much here in the US?
Well, you have the case that in Bariloche, where a pilot saw a UFO and the crew on his plane saw a UFO. An Aerolíneas Argentina pilot saw a UFO. And at the same time, a Border Patrol pilot saw the same UFO. Then the power in Bariloche cut out. So that was a pretty fascinating case. And some people think it's like Argentina's Roswell, because there were so many witnesses. And yeah, it continues today, that lore. And I went to Bariloche recently. I still have a video I have to put out. I have to edit everything I filmed. But when
will we be able to see it? When will it be on your YouTube?
When will it be on there? Well, yeah. I have to edit it still, so who knows? It's a mystery.
Come on.
I know, yeah. I've been falling behind a little bit with my editing. Just like I said earlier, you know, sometimes you hit the brick wall and you lose your balance and you lose your rhythm. So I need to start getting back to my original style. I've been going live a lot, so that's kind of been my focus. But there are many cases. I suggest anyone just really quick, just put UFO sightings in Argentina. The first thing that comes up is going to be a list of sightings for you to look at. I have some videos on my channel of different cases. And now anytime I leave Buenos Aires, which is the capital city, I look up where we're going and I see if there's a case. And every time there's a case somewhere. And when we went to Bariloche, we went on this route called Route 40, Route 40.
Just give me quick, because I really want to listen to this. But first, I really would like to say thank you to Jazz Shaw and Creepy Little Book. You guys are freaking amazing. One more thing before we jump back into the story is I wanted to take a moment to let you know that you're really helping me by supporting this channel and my research projects through Super Chats or becoming a Patreon supporter or even by sharing this on social media. The Undead Gaucho is really throwing out some fascinating information for us Americans, talking about stories from Argentina that I think are completely incredible. Also, the Patreon has a bunch of goodies, extras, and behind-the-scenes videos, which we will have a few after this interview. There's going to be some extra questions that are only for the Patreon supporters. So I want to let you guys know that before we keep going. All right, Undead Gaucho, it's back to you.
Hey guys, support Christina on Patreon, because it is not easy to have a channel. It is not easy to do these things. I know you do it because you love it, and I know you love the topic, but I think sometimes having support from the community is awesome, because we do need to get new teleprompters or different things like that. And a lot of us are
don't get me started.
A lot of us are, you know, small. You know, we have normal lives and we don't have enough money to give the best quality at times. You know, it's a challenge. It's a challenge all the time. I'm sitting right now. There's lights here, and the lights are like those clip-on lights from Home Depot. And I got some, what is this, like cooking sheet over the light, so it's not blaring in my face. But I'm saying, go support Christina and support your creatives and the people out there. Lots of people. I don't know if you get this vibe too, Christina. It's like a little bit of hate towards people trying to get help or get any sort of money when it comes to anything that has to do with this topic. I don't think it's getting money, but you know what I mean? I think you understand what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why it's so good to give back to the community and be like, well, it's not really just for me, but you're giving out so much back.
Yeah.
And you know, and I'm also like still a full-time college student, like self-funded. So it's really not that easy to be able to have all these things and give the best quality. But enough about this. We're here for the UFOs. You know, that's what we're here for. Not about talking about like these stories. So please carry on.
All right. So I was saying that I went to Bariloche and we took this route called Route 40, which is a iconic route here. And the drive took me like 3 days. It was like 10 hours each time driving. It was fun. It was a cool road trip. And because of COVID, we decided to go in the car and not fly and all this kind of stuff. Sorry. And I noticed that in my backyard, Argentina has different terrains and different environments and different, just different worlds almost, right? So I could totally see why the phenomenon is attracted to different locations around the world and why the phenomenon is attracted to this planet or why it's been here, right? So that was basically what I was going to say there, but, Hit me with another question. Don't worry.
Okay. So how about reports or news stories about possible crashes of objects in Argentina? Have you heard of or investigated any such reports?
I've not heard of any such reports, which is that's a good one. That's something that I think I should look into. But I have not heard of any crashes in Argentina. I have heard of, you know, craft landing, people coming into contact with beings and things of that nature, but a crash craft, I have not heard of that. Which there is a place in Córdoba, which is a part of Argentina. There's this town called, I'm forgetting what it's called. There's a mountain there called Uritorco. And in that town, supposedly there is a circle of grass or a circle of the mountainside that got burned. And it seemed like a UFO had crashed there. Research was done on that. And Capilla del Monte is the name of the town. And if I'm not mistaken, because the name is in Spanish, I think it's El Ojo del Pájaro or something like that. Somebody will correct me for sure. But I went to Capilla del Monte. I've been there a few times. If you guys ever come here, I suggest you go to Capilla del Monte. It's almost like a Roswell. People have close encounters there all the time. The town has UFO themed stuff all over it. The shops have all UFO stuff everywhere. And there's this mountain called the Uritorco, where there's a legend that inside of the mountain, there's a race of extraterrestrials living in there. And in this area, supposedly there was this UFO crash. So that's one that came to mind when you brought that up. And there's a UFO research center there.
What year was that? That information came out kind of just like vaguely, like a range.
I'm trying to think. Probably in the 80s. Yeah. 1986, I think. But it's here. Look, I just saw it. El Pajarillo Hill. That's what it says online, but it's El Pajarillo. So, which means I think it's like bird. But if you guys go there, you'll go on a little adventure, go to the town center and ask around for the UFO research. There's a UFO research center. And I had no idea. I'd been there two or three times. And this last time I went with my family, this is a good story. And they are not, you know, they're all just on vacation from the States. And I'm with my two younger cousins, which are like my, you know, my little brothers. They are not interested in the phenomenon like I am, but they were willing to come with me and check everything out. And we found out that there was this UFO research center in this town. We went to the UFO research center, and it was actually the home of someone that is dedicated to looking into the phenomenon. I can't remember her name at the moment, but she's a well-known researcher here. I have there's a video on my channel. Just look at the Cordoba video and just jump to the end, cause it's like half an hour, and you'll see that we go into her house and it's like a UFO shrine, like all this data, all this information everywhere, just different articles. She talks about Pajarillo and she shows us this video. And yeah, there's a lot of, look there you go. That's something that I think you'll only find, you know, in certain parts of the world, and you'll find it here, which is a little house in the middle of a mountain dedicated to looking into this topic, where the researcher brings you into their house and just shows you, and it doesn't cost anything. I think she asked for a donation or something, but yeah, look into Pajarillo. It's an interesting case, but I think that's the only one that I can think of off the top of my head where there was a crash.
Do you happen to know anything about Las Ovejas, the sheep? That's what the translation is. Yeah. So I know, because you talked about road trips and expeditions around the country. So have you visited that place or any other flaps or other UFO hotspots?
Yes. Las Ovejas. I went to Las Ovejas.
Well, tell us the story.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember exactly if it was Las Ovejas. But yeah, we went to Las Ovejas. I think when we went to Bariloche, we stopped in Las Ovejas, and there's a UFO sort of mirador.
Sorry, can you explain where that is in Argentina?
Yeah, well, you're asking the wrong guy, because I'm also again very. That's why I was like, I have to remember if that's exactly where we went. But
and then the real question is, are there really sheep in Las Ovejas?
Yeah, there are sheep.
Let me see. That makes me feel a little better. Sorry.
It's located in Neuquén, but I'm trying to make sure that this is exactly where we went. Give me a sec.
Brad says he's definitely going to Argentina. I think with all these really cool hotspot stories, right, Brad? Am I or why are you going to go for the food? The food's pretty good too, I heard, but I've never had it.
The food is good. The food is really good. So Las Ovejas. I'm sorry. See, that's exactly where we went. When you said Las Ovejas, I thought of a different location, but Las Ovejas is located off of Route 40 on the way to Bariloche in Neuquén. And literally I went there because my wife sat me down. She said, look, before we go to Bariloche, you need to do some research and find places that we could stop at. Your community wants you to do that. Like, your community would want you to do that. So thank you to her. And I sat down, I looked, and this was one of the spots that I found that I felt like we could kind of go off the road and stop there. It took a few hours to get there. We were only there for a day, or no, we got there at night, and then we went back to the Mirador in the morning, and then we left. So I didn't have enough time to really explore around, but the Mirador, which is a lookout point that they made there, supposedly to see UFOs and to see different kind of craft, I guess, in the sky. And lots of people in that town have supposedly had close encounters. But one thing I'd like to say is that when we got there, we went to try to grab some food. And the town is so small that there was no restaurants open, right? There was nothing open. But I'm saying, like, there was maybe one or two restaurants in the whole town. And there was this house that was serving food. It was kind of like a makeshift restaurant. And we stopped there. And there were some locals showed up. Group of guys that were like playing soccer earlier or something. They show up and they start talking. There's a group of tourists next to us, and they start talking about UFOs randomly. They're saying, did you guys see anything tonight? Like, asking the tourists, and they're all kind of just laughing about it. So it's a town where that lore, that history exists. When we went to the Mirador, it is off the beaten path. When I say that, I'm saying at night you can't see anything. It's just like a dirt road up a mountain. And I'm a city guy, kind of, you know, I'm not the most, I'm not an outback kind of guy. So I'm going up this dirt road. I'm not sure if there's like a cliff, there's no barricades or anything. And we get to the Mirador, everything super dark again, no lights at all. I get out of the car and I start thinking my wife is in the car, and I just brought her here to this spot where, I don't know if you could see. Can you guys see Nala back there? I brought her to this spot where, what if we have a close encounter? Was this a good idea to bring her here? I don't know if that kind of messed up my experience the first night, because I was kind of like, oh man, what if something actually does happen? I've taken her to this spot at 1 a.m. in the middle of the dark. I mean, in the middle of the night, and maybe I shouldn't have done this. But I stayed out there for a minute. It was pretty wild. In the day, we went back, and there's a video on my channel, so thank you for asking me about this spot. And it was beautiful. It was a beautiful location. And I could totally see, again, like I said, I could totally see why UFOs would be there, because it's like there's nothing there. It's just nature, and it's just a place for them to, like, they could literally like land out there and nobody would see it. They could just hang out there. I think that's something too that people don't think about. There's lots of places on this planet where there's not much attention being paid to. Like, people aren't looking at it all the time, and they could just hang out there for a minute or do what they need to do, pick up some dirt samples like they used to in the past. And yeah, if you ever get a chance, guys, go to Las Ovejas. But I would say just come to Argentina. Anywhere you go, you're going to find out that there was a case there. And that's something that I've actually been experiencing. Anytime I go anywhere, I look into that. So,
well, I quickly want to say thank you. I really don't even want to butcher the name, but do you think you can pronounce it before I mess up?
Matthew.
Ah.
Or something like that.
Wow, when you say it like that, it makes it look so easy. I'm over here like, like no,
I might have butchered it too, though.
You know what? But if you didn't, it sounded really good. So, but thank you so much. Thank you, everyone. So talking about Argentina altogether, I know that it is a major beef exporter, being the third largest exporter of beef products in the world. That said, livestock management and cattle grazing is huge there. So one might assume that if cattle mutilations are a global mystery, Argentina could have quite a lot of occurrences of mutilations going back many years. Is this something that you've looked into?
Christina, I think I need you like on my team, like giving me, you need to be shooting me different things to look into. You know, yeah, asado here is Argentinian barbecue is like super common, and it's something that we eat. We're all basically carnivores. It's sort of like the Flintstones, like giant pieces of meat everywhere, which is kind of gross, but I eat meat, so I'm not going to hate. But that's a great question. That's actually something I've never, ever thought about. Like, there's a lot of cattle here. There's a lot of livestock, and yeah, there should be a high rate of cattle mutilations happening here if they're happening in other parts of the world. But it's not something I've seen pop up on my radar. But I'm sure if you guys look, like, that was a great question, and that was some great thinking right there. That's why I love your channel so much. Like, you totally just made me think of something I would have never thought of on my own.
Well, so, I'll tell you that I don't sleep. So that probably answers your question of where the questions come from.
Not a lot of sleep, but I would say that's, you would assume that that would be the case. I'm not, you know, really, I would say too that I'm not one that has looked into cattle mutilations that much. You know, I've really looked into the abduction phenomenon more in just cases. Like one-on-one cases, the experience people have when it comes to this. So cattle mutilation has always been there. I've looked into it, but I haven't spent, you know, a lot of time really trying to figure it out. I think sometimes too, you know, I did think about this the other day, kind of a thought experiment. I shared this clip on Twitter, and it was, I don't know if you saw this. It was a video sort of, highlighting how for different products we test animals, and there was this video of this rabbit, and it was like a claymation video, and the rabbit is basically in a suit when it starts, and he's like talking about why he this is gonna sound strange.
I thought you said in a soup, and I was like, wow, that got dark real quick.
No, he's in a suit, sorry. And he's got like a human kind of take on what he does and why he gets tested. And he's like, it started making me think that humans don't realize that we actually do worse things than cattle mutilation to cattle. Like, we actually, you know, I'm not going to go into detail on how we slaughter cattle or what we do with these animals, but I think that cattle mutilation is interesting. It's fascinating. And to try to understand, like, what are they doing with that? And why is that? But I also think that we got to take a step back and realize, like, why would they do those things? I don't know. Have you ever heard of any other kind of animal mutilation other than cattle when it comes to the UFO topic?
It's definitely not something that's popularly spoken about, but I don't doubt that there are cases that are there on that.
Yeah.
So My next question is, can you tell us a little bit about the impressionable expeditions you've made around Argentina, places that stick out in your mind as being places of mystery, even in a paranormal sense? Do you also research the paranormal?
Yeah, I do. I do. And when I first started the channel, I think I was more, I was just out looking at everything. You know, I was looking into high strangeness a lot more. Now I'm really dug my head into the sand when it comes to the UFOs and trying to figure this out. But I feel like it's all tied together. Argentina, one thing you'll notice too when you come here, there's a lot of old architecture. There's a lot of Masonic symbolism. There's a lot of mystery when it comes to Argentina. And you can, if you pay attention, you can see it. I'll give you an interesting story. I used to live in a different part of the city, and there was these tiles on the floor that looked like tarot cards. and they were just kind of spread out. What I used to do before the pandemic is I take my camera and I go out and do street photography sometimes. And when you do that, I'm just listening to music, paying attention to everything. And I have this whole idea always that like there's mystery. So I'm paying attention to everything for those kinds of things. Started noticing these tiles just kind of spread out on the sidewalk, like in different blocks. So it wasn't like there was one tile here and then another tile. You had to figure it out. It was kind of like a puzzle. And it was a mystery. I kept finding these tiles, not understanding what they meant. And like there was one that had like the hangman. I don't know if you've seen that tarot card. There was another one with like an elephant on it with six arms or something like that. And it was just so strange because it's in the middle of the city. There's no reason why it should be there. And it looked very old. So I don't know. I'm looking for references of why that is and what's going on. And here we have a night of the museums where basically all the museums are free. The art galleries are free and you can go out and check them out. So my wife and I went to do the night of the museums, and there happened to be one museum that was really close to my house. And I was like, why don't we hit these up first? Because they're not going to be as packed as the popular ones, because of course they're super packed that night. And I had this whole mystery. My wife knows, because she'll see me like walking around the house searching for an elephant with six arms and saying like, I don't understand what this is. Why are there these things on the floor? It doesn't make any sense, but there has to be some reason for this. And we go to this museum. It was like an art gallery. And before we walk in, I see this painting in the front of the gallery, and it's the elephant with the six arms. And I'm like, wait a minute. And I look down at the block. I start paying attention on the block, and I see one of those tiles, that like tarot card tiles mixed into the block. And I think, okay, so this is what it is. It was a path. It was a secret path that took you from one spot of the town over to this museum. And the museum is, if you guys want to look into it, the artist's name is Zul, I think it's XUL Solar. And he's definitely into the occult. He's definitely into high strangeness. And it was crazy. It was wild because I'm into that stuff. And this random mystery led me to this place that ended up being this artist that was into, he had a letter from Aleister Crowley in the museum. And I'm like, what is this? Like, I can't believe this. Like, it could have led me to anything. It could have led me to, it could have been just any average little museum, right? And it led me to this guy, this strange character that existed, this artist. And there is mystery here. And there is a lot of strange stuff. There's a Masonic temple you can visit that's down in the center of the city. And on a side note too, something that threw me off when I was looking at these tiles is on one of these paths that I would go and like try to connect the dots. There was a house that had a small little window above the door, and it had a Masonic symbol above the door. But if you didn't pay attention to it, you would never notice the Masonic symbol. And there was little things like that that I just find.
It's the little things, absolutely. It's the little things that make the difference, or that make you want to go searching. It's not the huge flashy things. It's the small ones.
Yeah, it's the mystery. And I've always been a fan of Indiana Jones and the adventurer and that kind of thing. So I wish I could have an adventure like that. I wish one day I could have go into the Temple of Doom and come out. But there's also the cemetery here is in Recoleta. A lot of the cemeteries are very, again, old architecture. I spent a lot of time in that cemetery, which sounds strange, but my early videos, you'll see that I film them in the cemetery because it's a beautiful place. There's also, again, a lot of symbolism, Masonic symbolism, just clearly sitting right in front of you. There's pyramids, there's Egyptian symbolism on different tombs. And you start to think like, who were these people? What is this about? And it just shows you that, the occult and those kinds of things are real. There's a building here as well too, in the in the middle of the city that has the architect that made it. He had this idea of like, as above, as below, you know, like, and there's these statues on the outside of the building. And I'm trying to remember exactly what they are, but I think the basement of the building supposedly is haunted and there's like ghosts in it and stuff, but it's a spooky building. There's a, unfortunately, a Starbucks at the bottom.
Coincidence.
But,
yeah, I mean, think about it.
But thanks, Greg. If you pay attention to the small details, you'll totally see that, yeah, there's a lot of mystery here and high strangeness. And it stayed because they haven't broken down the buildings. The buildings are still here. You can see it. You can see the, like, you can see the clues sitting right in front of you if you pay attention.
Absolutely. Sometimes just right under your nose, but we don't look.
Yeah, just like Bob Bigelow said.
What other countries have you visited and conducted research expeditions, and where were the results of those trips? And what were the results of those trips? Sorry.
Other countries where I've actually been, like, looked into this. Unfortunately, haven't been anywhere else really other than the States. But, you know, the States is, I was too young. I was like 19, 20 when I was over there. And it was more just like reading books about UFOs, looking into documentaries and different things like that. If I had the chance now, like, my goal is to do that. Like, that would be amazing. But I, again, am a normal guy with a job, with a wife and a dog. I can't be going out on expeditions and leaving everything behind. I could if this was what I did full time, you know, but that's not possible at the moment. But hopefully, hopefully one day I can do that.
I would love to go to
Machu Picchu, for example.
Ooh.
Or go into like the Amazon and see if I could figure out if they're having close encounters, like a tribe, or meet some indigenous people somewhere and see what's going on with that.
Well, one thing that's always struck me is the predominance of Latin America countries to having witnesses involved in close encounters of the third kind and above that. Stories of ongoing contact situations, even with small groups of people in rural villages. What can you tell us about the occurrences in Argentina?
Yeah, definitely. That's very true about people having close encounters and having, you know, higher, like, close encounters of the third kind and higher. There is a documentary that's about a gaucho, actually, and his encounter.
Well, do you want to explain what gaucho means for people that might not know?
Yeah, a gaucho is just like an Argentinian cowboy. So it's like somebody that works out in the land. You know, they ride horses. It's very iconic here. And I use it as sort of a wink to my roots. And the idea of the undead gaucho was just saying like, hey, look, I'm not dead, because I'm sure lots of people that knew me back in LA think I'm dead. So the undead gaucho is like, I'm still here. I'm not dead yet. But yeah. Yeah, I think we can just draw back on this idea that they're more open to talk about these kinds of things here. And with this whole spiritual and religious tone that there is here, I think you will find as well, like, people will talk about religious encounters that they have with angels and different kinds of things like that. So definitely there are close encounters happening here, but I think they happen all over the world. I think that just here, it's maybe just a little bit more easy to talk about. So we're hearing about it at times, but I think we need to start doing a lot more work looking into indigenous cultures and looking into just everyone. Like, we need to pay attention to everybody. This is not a topic that is, it's not tied down. It's something that is happening to everyone. It's happening around the world. And sometimes people don't even remember their close encounters. Sometimes I think there are a lot more abductees out there than we know because of this idea that you forget what happened. So I think some people may think they had a strange dream. Some people may think that they have a strange memory. And I think if we could really tie down and sit down and pay attention to people, we would hear a lot more of these cases. So yeah, I hope that answers your question. But Argentina, check out the documentary. I'm forgetting what it's called, guys, but if you search Gaucho has Close Encounter or Gaucho documentary Close Encounter, it'll pop up automatically. It's a great documentary, and the guy's experience is fascinating. He had it when he was young, and he's sort of struggling with it. And there's scenes where he's like, you know, emotional talking about it. And I'm going to look what it's called, but it's a famous case here. And it's a good example of how sometimes not everyone wants to have a close encounter. And we need to consider that and understand that, because the whole love and light thing at times.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think
absolutely.
Witness of Another World, I think is what it's called.
If you don't find the documentary, you can just send it to me and I'll put it in the description box when this video is over. But I just have one or two more questions. And before we close, can you tell us about stories of abductions? Is this something that you've heard of as occurring a lot there recently? Or is it more of something that has occurred more in the past in Argentina?
Abductions? It's not something that I've heard of it happening more here. You hear a lot more about that coming from the States, like in different parts of the world. There isn't much talk about abductions here. There are lots of cases, obviously, like I just said, everywhere there's cases, but I think it's not something that I would say is like happening more here than it is anywhere else.
What can you tell us about ancient civilizations in Argentina? Have you conducted research into ruins and legends, possibly where some of those ancient cultures referred to meeting with sky gods?
No, but that's definitely something that I would want to do. Again, another thing that I need to have you on my team, because those are great things to think about and look into. I'm taking notes right now, because I'm just thinking, wow, she's totally right. But when I was talking about meeting indigenous people and talking to indigenous people about this topic and seeing what their experience is with it, that's exactly what you're asking. And I think there's a lot of work to be done there, but I personally have not yet. Hopefully, like I said, if I can do this full time, guys, I promise you, I will get in the mud. I will go through the fields. I will do whatever we have to do to get this done and to figure out what's going on, because I think we need that. And I think we need to not have like a Discovery Channel version of it, you know, like a History Channel take on it, where it's just the same kind of cuts. I think we need to be real. We need to be out there. We need to be showing how this phenomenon is just intertwining with people all over the world. So great point. And if I do this full time, or if, who knows, maybe if I have a chance in the next year, that's something I definitely want to do. So
I'd hope so. I'll be watching. I'll be like, oh, what is he going to bring up next? It'll be so exciting. Something that is so close to your heart is working on ways to help normalize the view of the public as an experiencer and the UFO topic in general for the masses. Can you tell us about how you're working that on your end?
On my end, I mean, doing this right now, you know, and having the channel and having lives and interacting with people online and anywhere I meet people, I try to talk about this topic. And I think what you and I do and what a lot of creators do and a lot of different people talking about this, the debrief, everybody, right? We are normalizing the topic in some way. I just told you my family has my back and they're sending me videos of, you know, Triangle Craft, the Navy videos and stuff like that. They're sending me the news and they're saying, hey, look, check this out. They're talking to me about the UFO topic. And the best thing we could do, because none of us have answers right now, none of us have a clear answer to this, I think the best thing we could do is this, is talk about it and realize that not everyone is Indiana Jones. Not everyone is J. Allen Hynek. Not everyone can do what some of these great men did, or these great men and women did. But we can do what we can do our best, which is what we're doing right now. So I think sharing stories, letting people know that there's nothing strange about the topic, letting people know that they have somebody they could talk to, and they shouldn't be ashamed about their close encounters. They shouldn't be ashamed about seeing a UFO. They shouldn't be ashamed about being a believer. They should be happy. You know, they should understand that if you've had a close encounter, you peek behind the veil. You know, you've seen something that other people have not. You should feel wise. You should feel like it's, you know, you have a new view. You have a new outlook. You can see everything from a new angle. So I hope to continue making content, continue having discussions like this one, which are healthy and help this topic. We're not yelling over each other. We're having a clear discussion. We're not talking about anything too crazy, right, for people to grasp. And that's what we need to do. We need to keep talking about this and hopefully get out there and meet those indigenous tribes and do what we were just talking about. Do those kinds of things, because it all helps.
The Undead Gaucho, I want to say thank you so much for joining me here today on Shifting the Paradigm. If you guys want to have this conversation keep going, this conversation is going to keep going on Patreon with a few other questions. So take a look at that if you are a supporter. But that is it here for today. Can you please tell your audience where they can find you on social media?
Yeah, you guys can find me on Twitter. Just search The Undead Gaucho, like it says here on my hat. And on YouTube, The Undead Gaucho. On Instagram, just search The Undead Gaucho. Like it's nobody else has that name. So you'll find me right away. Never stop searching for the truth, guys. And I hope to meet more of you. And thank you, Christina, for bringing me on tonight. Had a great time.
Thank you. And again, I will place all the links in the description box below. Before we end this whole thing, I want to... Wait, let me put it like this. like this. Okay, well, never mind.
Three, two, one.